Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
May 1916, Kossuth Lajos Street, Cinkota, Hungary. Martin Krasinski, the landlord, and Bella Takec, the local pharmacist, stood in the locked storage chamber next to the tinsmith workshop. They'd come looking for renovation materials. Instead, they found several large metal drums, each about a meter long and a half meter wide, stacked against the wall. The drums were sealed with lead solder, professionally done, the kind of metalwork you'd expect from a skilled tinsmith. Krasinski wanted to see what his tenant Bella Kiss had been storing. The tinsmith had left for war nearly 2 years earlier. The drums didn't look like gasoline containers. Kiss had claimed he was hoarding fuel for anticipated wartime rationing. They looked like something else entirely. The two men took an axe to the first drum. The lead seal resisted, then gave way. A terrible stench filled the chamber, chemical and sweet and wrong. They reached into the drum and pulled out a large cloth bag. Inside, carefully packaged, was the body of a woman, strangled, perfectly preserved in alcohol. They breached a second drum, making just a hole in the side this time. The same pungent smell. A lock of blonde hair fell from the opening. Krasinski and Takec retreated. They called the authorities. Hello, friend. Welcome to Foul Play. By evening, police had opened all seven drums. Seven bodies, all women, all strangled with a grot. The alcohol preservation had kept them so pristine that some victims were still recognizable, despite being dead for years. Then investigators found 17 more bodies on the property, some hidden throughout the house, others in drums buried around the grounds. The question wasn't just who had killed them. The question was how Bella Kiss had found 24 women willing to travel to a village 6 miles from Budapest, alone and trusting, to meet a man none of them had reason to fear. The answer was remarkably simple. He advertised.
Bella Kiss entered the world in 1877 in the small town of Izjak, Hungary. As a young man, he established himself in Cinkota, where his intelligence and charisma quickly earned him a reputation as a respected member of the community. Standing at 6 feet tall with striking blue eyes and blonde hair, Kiss cut an impressive figure, and his success as a tinsmith afforded him a comfortable lifestyle that many in the village envied. He lived in a furnished apartment, was of good character, had no debt, always fulfilled his obligations, and had a solid lifestyle. He was an amateur astrologer and was allegedly fond of occult practices. Kiss married Marie, a woman several years his junior. Kiss and Marie seemed happy at first, but their relationship was plagued by Marie's flirtatious nature. Local gossip suggested she was carrying on affairs with several young men in the village. Kiss appeared to take his wife's indiscretions in his stride, maintaining a calm and collected demeanour, even as rumours swirled around their marriage. Then suddenly, Marie disappeared. Kish explained to his neighbours that she had run away with a soldier, abandoning him for a new life in America. He played the role of the dejected husband perfectly, garnering sympathy from the community. Few questioned his story, especially when letters occasionally arrived, supposedly from Marie, telling of her new life across the ocean. In the years following Marie's disappearance, Kish's behaviour shifted subtly. He became more private, yet simultaneously more engaged in correspondence with women from Budapest and surrounding areas. In 1912, Kish employed a housekeeper, Mrs. John Jakubek, to help keep the house and run errands that a wife would normally do. Despite his apparent heartbreak, he maintained his position as a well-liked figure in Sinkota, known for his polite manners and professional reliability. He began receiving frequent female visitors, explaining to neighbours that they were friends, helping him cope with his loneliness. He was very secretive, and not even his housekeeper, Mrs. Jakubek, was introduced to many of the house guests.
The Lonely Hearts advertisement was a standard feature of early 20th century newspapers. Men and women seeking companionship or marriage would place notices describing themselves, their circumstances, their hopes. The advertisements promised connection in an era when social circles were small and introductions formal. Bella Kish understood the mathematics of loneliness. A woman seeking a respectable husband wouldn't question why a successful tinsmith might need to advertise. She would see opportunity. She would see a man confident enough to be direct about his intentions. Between 1912 and 1914, Kish placed advertisements in Budapest newspapers under various aliases. He sought a mature and respectable woman for matrimony. He emphasized financial security, his successful business, his property, his desire for a stable partnership. The responses came from across Hungary. Widows, spinsters, women whose age or circumstances made traditional courtship difficult. Kish corresponded with each woman carefully. He wrote romantic letters. He shared details about his workshop, his home, his quiet life in Sinkota. He asked about their lives, their dreams, their assets, whether they owned businesses, whether they had savings. When a woman expressed serious interest, Kish invited her to visit. He was specific about the arrangements. She should come alone, tell no one exactly where she was going, bring her valuables for safekeeping since she'd be traveling. Standard precautions for a woman visiting a man she knew only through letters. Reasonable requests that isolated his victims perfectly. The women came to Kosuth-Lajo Street. They met a charming, successful tinsmith who seemed exactly as he described himself. They had dinner. They discussed their future together. And then at some point during the visit, Bella Kish strangled them. He used a garrote, a thin cord or wire looped around the neck and tightened from behind. Quick, quiet, requiring strength but no particular mass. A method that left no blood to explain, no gunshot to alert neighbors. After killing each woman, Kiss took her jewelry, her money, whatever assets she'd brought. Then came the careful work. He placed each body in a cloth bag, secured it in one of his metal drums, and filled the drum with alcohol for preservation. The drums were stored in his locked chamber, professionally sealed with lead solder, the mark of a skilled tinsmith, protecting his inventory. Kish returned to his advertisements, to his correspondence, to the next woman who responded to his promise of companionship and security.
In 1914, World War I broke out and Kish was conscripted to the war, leaving his house in Mrs. Jakubek's care, and all was quiet for a couple of years. Frigis Carinthi, a famous Austria-Hungarian author, was present at the scene and described it in detail. I stood there in the cemetery in Sinkotta, in front of the tin barrels, and watched one by one as the contents of the opened barrels were poured out onto the autopsy table. Tin barrels of different heights, equally tinned precisely with conscientious work. Those who opened the first barrel did not doubt for a moment that the other contents were the same, although this assumption meant an unimaginable horror. And those of us who were there at the opening, all of us took it for granted that a small woman fell to the ground from the smaller barrel, and a larger one from a larger one. And after the second barrel, we also knew how to turn the barrel, how deep to reach, and where to grab the string on the neck of the emerging female head, where the loop is, where it leads down to the legs, and how they are knotted. This is how a proper, precise collector works, one who understands his craft, and he likes order.
Among the bodies, investigators found Catherine Varga, a dressmaker who'd sold her business to fund a new life with a man she knew through letters. Margaret Toth, whose widowed mother had arranged the introduction, hoping to secure her daughter's future. Anna Fakeda, who traveled from Szeged with her life savings. The women ranged from domestic servants to business owners. What they shared was vulnerability, age, circumstances, or social position that made traditional marriage difficult. They'd responded to advertisements, promising respectability and security. They'd brought their valuables because a woman visiting a potential husband would naturally bring what she owned. Kish had understood their situations perfectly. He'd known they'd come alone. He'd known they'd tell no one exactly where they were going. He'd known that women like these disappeared regularly into marriage or migration, their absence unremarkable until someone specific went looking. Police traced the letters back to Budapest newspapers. The advertisements had run under multiple names, different aliases, for different campaigns. Kish had been systematic in his predation, spacing his kills to avoid attention, varying his approach to prevent patterns. The metallurgist's report on the drums showed professional-grade soldering. The alcohol used for preservation was industrial quality, purchased in quantities that wouldn't draw attention from a tinsmith who might legitimately need chemical supplies. Even the burial locations in the garden showed planning, placed deep enough to avoid casual discovery, positioned where normal maintenance wouldn't disturb them. Every element of Keisha's method demonstrated the same cold calculation. He'd chosen victims carefully. He'd isolated them perfectly. He'd preserved their bodies with the precision of a craftsman. And he'd maintained his respectable facade throughout. The successful tinsmith who occasionally entertained female visitors, but otherwise kept to himself. The question investigators faced was simple. Where was Bella Kish?
As detectives delved deeper into the investigation, the true horror of Bella Kish's crimes came into sharp focus. They meticulously catalogued 24 bodies in total, all women who had been strangled with a carefully crafted garrote. Each victim bore the same distinct ligature marks around their necks, indicating Kish's signature method of killing. And each woman had puncture wounds on their neck, and their bodies were drained of blood, leading to rumours that Kish may have been practising vampirism. The preservation technique used by Kish was particularly sophisticated. He had developed a unique method using alcohol and other chemicals that prevented decomposition, essentially turning his victims into grotesque specimens. Medical examiners were astonished by the effectiveness of his preservation method, noting that even victims killed years earlier retained their facial features and identifying marks. The investigation also uncovered evidence that Kish had developed an extensive network of alibis and false identities. He had managed to avoid suspicion for years, by carefully timing his killings and maintaining a respected position in the community. His role as a successful tinsmith had provided the perfect cover for the suspicious drums on his property, while his military service had ultimately given him the opportunity to escape justice. The police continued their investigation. They found old court records that indicated that two of Kish's victims, Julianne Pashak and Elizabeth Comoroni, had instigated court proceedings for taking money from them. But both women had disappeared and the cases were closed. While searching Kish's house, clothing was found with Julianne's name sewn in them.
Stuck in a dinner rut? We've all been there, bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Chief Inspector Joseph Nagy began his manhunt in May 1916. He immediately recognized the challenge. Kish had disappeared into the largest mobilization in European history. The Austro-Hungarian military had millions of men spread across multiple fronts. Record-keeping was overwhelmed. Communication was chaotic. Finding one soldier in that system would be difficult under the best circumstances. Nagy had one advantage: Kish's name and service record. The military confirmed Kish was assigned to a medical unit operating near the Siberian front. Nagy requested that military police locate and detain Kish for immediate return to Budapest to face murder charges. The request moved through military bureaucracy while Nagy investigated the Sinkata murders. He interviewed neighbors who described Kish as respectable and quiet. He tracked down women who'd corresponded with Kish, but never visited Sinkata. They'd lost interest, or Kish had deemed them unsuitable, or circumstances had prevented travel. Each interview revealed the same pattern: lonely women seeking companionship, a charming correspondent who seemed genuine, careful grooming toward an isolated visit. In September 1916, word came from the military. They'd located Kish's unit. He'd been wounded in action. Not killed, wounded. He'd been transferred to a military hospital for treatment. Nagy traveled to Siberia personally. He arrived at the military hospital and requested to see Bella Kish. The doctor checked the records. Yes, a soldier by that name had been admitted weeks earlier. Shrapnel wounds. Serious, but not immediately fatal. He'd been recovering in the ward. But when the doctor led Nagy to the bed, they found it empty. Clean linens. No patient. No explanation. The reconstruction came from military records and witness interviews. Kish had been admitted to the hospital with shrapnel wounds. Painful, but survivable. He'd been conscious, coherent, and cooperative during initial treatment. The wounds had been dressed, and he'd been assigned to a recovery ward. But Balakish hadn't come to the hospital to recover. He'd come to disappear. The hospital staff couldn't say exactly when Kish had left his bed. It had been after dark. That much they remembered. The ward had been crowded with wounded soldiers, staff overwhelmed, security focused on preventing desertion through official exits rather than watching individual patients. In the chaos of a military hospital treating hundreds of wounded men, one patient rising from his bed wouldn't draw particular attention. What investigators pieced together later showed Keisha's careful planning. When Nagi arrived, perhaps days, a soldier in the adjacent bed had died of typhoid. Keish had switched identity documents. He had taken the dead man's papers, left his own with the corpse, and simply walked out of the hospital in the darkness. The soldier in the morgue was not Balakish. The soldier was someone else, some nameless young man whose identity Kish had stolen as his final disguise. The soldier was Balakish's last victim. 1932, New York City. Henry Oswald, a homicide detective, reported seeing a man emerging from a subway station who matched Balakish's description. By then, Kish would have been in his 50s. The description matched his aged appearance. Still tall, still blonde, though graying, still carrying himself with that calm confidence that had fooled so many people in Singida 16 years earlier. Oswald filed a report. By the time authorities investigated, the trail had gone cold. If it was Kish, he'd vanished again into the anonymity of a city of millions. The case fundamentally changed how Hungarian law enforcement approached missing persons and matrimonial fraud investigations. Those sealed metal drums became powerful symbols, not just of Kish's crimes, but how easily a respectable facade could hide systematic predation against vulnerable women. Whether Balakish died in the trenches of World War I, started a new life under an assumed identity in New York or South America, or met some other fate remains unknown. His ability to disappear so completely into the war's chaos ensures his story captivates new generations. Not as a mystery, but as a cautionary tale. The 24 known victims represent only those discovered in Singida. Kish had corresponded with 174 women. He actively pursued 74 of them. The bodies found in May 1916 were 24. The mathematics leave space for terrible possibilities about what happened during his years as a fugitive. Catherine Varga sold her dressmaking business. Margaret Toth trusted her mother's choice of husband. 22 other women, whose names we know, and perhaps dozens more, whose identities vanished with their killer. They all made rational decisions based on the information available to them. They responded to advertisements that promised partnership and security. They traveled to meet a man who seemed respectable, successful, kind. Catherine Varga's needlework, the skill that had supported her independence, found alongside her remains years after Balakish strangled her and packaged her body with the precision of a tinsmith who understood his craft. Perhaps the most chilling aspect of the Balakish case is not just the murders he committed, but the possibility that he might have lived out his days in peaceful anonymity, taking the full truth of his crimes to his grave, that somewhere in the 1930s or 40s or 50s, Balakish died of old age in a hospital bed under a false name. His secrets intact, his victims unavenged. Until next time, remember, a respectable facade and a kind word can hide the darkest intentions. When someone seems too good to be true, trust the warning signs your instincts give you. Thanks for listening, friend.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.